I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what physical ailments. I know they are in this room. He's big enough to handle it. And whether he chooses to or not doesn't matter. We choose to worship.
Welcome to Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch exists to provide a safe and positive experience for children and families. To learn about the saving hope of Jesus Christ in an authentic Western environment. Like a salmon swimming upstream, our God wants us to finish the job he has called us to do. Turn in your Bible to Job 38 and listen as Troy Meter, Chief Executive Officer and co-founder, encourages you to set your eye on the mark and follow through to the target.
Kim and I have been doing this for a long time, and it's interesting how over the years, there's such a unique perception of who God is by so many different people. And I confess that I'm, you know, I've had those moments where we just don't trust him, you know, or we don't understand what he's doing, you know. And I know that there are people in this room because I just have sensed it so strongly as we've been praying for tonight that we're going to spend some time being the body of Christ and getting our hands on each other and touching each other and praying for whatever he wants to do, whether it's physical or spiritual, but there's business to do tonight. So if I can challenge you, just as we're getting ready to start this night of worship, just to get your heart prepared, because there will be a time when we will just call it out, not publicly, but, you know, to say, guys, who needs prayer? And then to just gather around and just let the body of Christ just lay hands on each other with respect and love and just usher in what he wants to do. And over the years, Kim and I and all of us have seen and heard, it's just interesting how people perceive God and who he is. I just spent some time in Alaska, and there was time on the airplane, and I just felt like I wanted so much to read the book of Job. And so I had my little iPhone with my Bible thing on there, and I started reading the book of Job, because there are times when life gets difficult. We all have gone through that stuff, and we all will go. And if you haven't, trust me, you will. If you don't have enough gray hair yet to know that there are going to be hard times, there will be. You won't get left out of that. And so reading through it and what happened to Job, and then there's this section where Job's friends are challenging him, and then Job actually challenges God. Why me? And I wrote some of the responses that our God said to Job, and I love these responses in the book of Job, chapter 38. God the Father spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit, being written these words, "Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words?" Doesn't get any stronger than that. "Brace yourself like a man, because I have questions for you." I think at that point, I would probably go, "Oh, no." And I got to wonder if Job just kind of shrunk in that pile of ashes, like, here it comes, you know, because he's God and I am not. There are times when people say, "Well, I'm just getting angry at God, and that's okay to do that. He has big shoulders." Hold on. It's like the pot telling the potter, "You made me wrong, and I'm mad at you." Hold on. He's God. I'm not. I don't have a right to be mad at God. I have a privilege of worshiping him for my breath, my very life. And it goes on, and it says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much." I just, boom, you know, God's just speaking to Job in a loving but powerful way, reminding us that he's God and we're not. "Who kept the sea inside its boundaries? Have you ever commanded the morning to appear?" I mean, we think, and we get up in the morning and the sun comes up and we think it's just going to happen. Well, I believe with my whole heart that the only reason that my feet hit the floor is because God's given me one more day. I mean, when you think about the sun and you look at it, that thing's been burning for eons. Why doesn't it just burn out? Because God holds it all together. And he says, "Rise. Where does the light come from, or where does the darkness go?" Powerful. And then for 129 verses, God reminds Job of who he is. And then towards the end, he says, "I am who I am." I remember Moses being in the presence of God and God saying, "I am who I am." Tonight, as we take just a few short moments to worship our Creator, my prayer is that, number one, we would remember with reverence and with just such deep and honor and respect that he's God and we're not. And I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what physical ailments. I know they are in this room, that there are ailments. And I know that There's spiritual stuff. There's stuff that's just going on. He's big enough to handle it. And whether he chooses to or not doesn't matter. We choose to worship. Because sooner or later, if the doctor calls and says, Troy, you've got cancer and you've got 2 weeks to live, of course my pompacity would think, okay, Lord, you know, off we go. I'd fall into a heap. But when I crawled out of my heap, I would remember that he's still God and I'm not. And that just means I get to be with him sooner than the rest of you. And so, amen, you know? And so I don't know what's going on, but for us to just stop the merry-go-round of stuff and with reverence and honor come to the feet of the Lord. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the curtain was torn open, and we are allowed. Before Jesus, we were not even allowed to get close to the Holy of Holies. There was a priest that would go in, and they would tie bells to him. You all know this. Maybe you don't. And they would tie a bell to him, and they would also tie a string to his foot. And if the bell stopped ringing, they'd bring out what was ever left. Because in the presence of a holy God, if he wasn't holy, it's over. But because of the blood of Jesus, we are allowed into that place in an instant. My prayer is that we would, with humility, enter into that presence. And then when we enter in, to just worship him for who he is. Amen? King David, when he took the reins to the kingdom, you know, he hired, it was like 7,500 musicians and artists and dancers to kind of go from this age of sacrifice to this age of worship. And that these guys, man, they got with it before the Lord. And I'm not talking about super weird. I'm talking about the supernatural power of Jesus Christ, power of the Spirit, through his people saying, listen, freedom to just love him in a way that's powerful and passionate. And I came from a Nazarene background, so for me, I love that. I love that beautiful, purposeful, word-centered background that I have. And I'm so grateful for that. But as the Lord just is maturing me, and I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, more, more, more. More, more, more. Whatever you want to do, if that means for me to look stupid, I was at Bethel Church last year at a worship conference, and there was about 1,000 of us in this room, and Stephanie Gretzinger got up, and she was teaching a class on just the dance, you know? And she started to weep because she's really condemned for dancing on stage. A lot of people that condemn her, she gets a lot of nasty Facebook stuff. And she said, you know, that scientists have proven that just watching a dance releases something within us that's powerful. She said, I don't know what it is, I'm not a scientist. But she said, there's something that happens just watching. And she said, my God, my Jesus has asked me to dance. And I'm going to do that. And sometimes it's not for me, it's for you. And so she got to talking about that, and I'm thinking, wow, that's just interesting. And so then here I am in my little Nazarene shell and my conservativeness, and I'm old, and all these guys are all young. And she said, so we're just going to dance. And I thought, oh, no. Oh, no, you know. And this is going to make me tear up because it was such a powerful moment in my life. And she said, how many of you guys, because she's Nazarene. She came from a Nazarene background. She said, how many of you guys are in this room in Nazarene? I was the only one. All these worship leaders from all over the world, I was the only one. I raised my hand. And she said, you and I are going to dance. And I thought, oh, crud. No way, you know. My heart starts to, I'm getting sweaty and everything. And so she just talked to the music guy. And she said, just put on some stuff that we can just dance before our Jesus. And she said, I'm not talking about getting weird. She said, I'm just talking about just moving and letting the Lord just. And I was kind of freaked out about it at first. But after I let go of my control and let go of my pride and my arrogance and my stubbornness, and just started to let Jesus, before I knew it, I'm moving up and down the aisles going, wow, this is really cool. And I wept, just like, oh my gosh, the freedom in Jesus. And I could see David dancing in the streets and just saying, I want a heart like that. David's heart, God called his own son a son of David. That's how much David had a heart for his God. I want to have that heart. The Lord so wants to set us free from what we think, what we're trying to control, and what we're trying to perceive it should be. We just want to love Jesus, and we just want more. Whatever that means, we just want more. Amen? I just got back from Alaska and had a wonderful chance to go spend some time just fishing, and everybody asked me how was the fishing, and Brent, go ahead and put that up. It was incredible. So, but they photoshopped me in, yeah. It was actually a minnow that, you know, that. The blessings, it's funny because it's interesting how there are times when God the Father just bestows on us extravagantly. This is something that Kim and I could never do on our own, but through the just generosity of an amazing person that has kind of adopted the two of us as his kids, he allowed this to happen. And the beauty of being up there for me, that was great. It was incredible. But every night after dinner, I would go out into the tundra and just listen to creation. No noise, no beeps, no buzzes, no honks, no sirens, no nothing. Just perfect quiet. And there's a spot at the end of this guy's runway. It's a lodge that's way in the middle of nowhere, about 300 miles from anywhere. There's no towns, there's no nothing, there's no cell phone. Praise Jesus. And you're just in the middle of nowhere. And to go just spend time with God and just be quiet before him and watch the sun go down. And I would weep and just, Lord, as he's just doing, I'm seeing my sin, I'm seeing my pride, I'm seeing all this stuff. It's like, God, just continue to flesh this stuff out. It's a powerful time. And the reason I share that is because I was fishing and I caught this salmon and it had gone up the river from the Bering Sea and it had been bitten by a seal and it had been just had horrible things done to it. And I pull this fish out, this beautiful creation of God, and I thought, man, you just need to be done, you know, because salmon go upriver to spawn and die. And this fish was chewed to pieces, cheek and backside, and something had got a hold of it and really tore it up, and it could barely move. But the moment I put it back in the water, it went upstream. It didn't stop. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God. If I would have the same kind of tenacity that that silly fish did in seeking after my Jesus, how things would change. No matter what was happening, he didn't care. It was a male, and it's like, I don't care what has happened to me. I don't care how I've been wounded. I don't care how I've been beat up. I don't care what's been said about me. I don't care how I've been hooked, battered, bitten, kicked around. I don't care, because my job is to finish the job that Jesus has called me to do. And I thought, a silly fish. I wept as I'm holding this fish going, oh, buddy, you just need to relax. No, I got a job to do. And the job wasn't to serve God. It's to please him and to be with him and to worship him. In doing what they do, they're going to their death. But I'm not quitting. There's a song that Stephanie Gretzinger sings, and at the end of her song, she says, oh, you're almost there. Don't give up. You're almost there. Tonight, as we just continue to worship, in Psalms 34, David wrote this, I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. Even in the midst of being bitten, battered, spoken of, sickness, whatever it might be that's going on in our lives, I will bless the Lord at all times. Creation, all creation, shouts the glory of the Lord. And that fish, that silly fish, taught me a life lesson I will never forget. Troy, don't quit. Don't quit. Rest assured, there are moments when Kim and I are like, are we done? Are we done? And we mean that with all love and are we done? And I'm saying to you guys, whatever God has you in the middle of, that we would be like that crazy salmon. No matter what happens, my eyes are focused on him. My eyes are on him and him alone. And him alone and nothing else. And that when we're put back into the stream, when we're put back into what we're called to do, that we would continue. Amen. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on, that you would say, nothing's going to stop me from loving my Jesus, because he's worthy to be praised. Our focus should never be anything but him and him alone. In days of old, the knights that served the king, the word for valor was a picture of a knight with his sword on the ground and his hand on the ground and on a knee, saying to his king, before you even ask, my answer is yes. And as we sing that song, you are my God, you are my king, that we would have that kind of a mindset that, God, it doesn't matter, before you even ask me, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Kim, I know you have a word for us, babe. I'd love to have you share that.
We know that that walk is hard. It's hard. And Jesus didn't leave us without defense, but it's been tough. And I know that there are many here tonight who are struggling and who the enemy wants you to believe that you are already defeated. He wants you to believe that Jesus is not enough to save you from what you face. He wants you to believe that the fire is just too hot. I had a conversation with somebody days ago, and I said that this season that Troy and I walked through, the fire has been so hot. And every day we'd wake up and say, Lord, can we take it? Can we take it one more day? Jesus, will you just see us through this time? And he's so faithful. He's so faithful. And he calls us. I was just reading this morning, and I want to share this with you. And we are going to know hard times. Twice in the last week, we've been contacted by similar ministries that have been completely flooded. One, their driveway is gone. Nobody can get to their ranch in Pennsylvania. And Florence is coming day after tomorrow, a hurricane in Hawaii. Hart Ranch, their arena's gone. It's washed away that they got 40 inches of rain in 2 days. And this is God's word. His word stands the test of time. And this is what he says to you and to me. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through deep water, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are going to walk through fire, and it will not burn you. Keep walking. The fire will not consume you. And as I was praying over this verse for this meeting tonight, the Lord gave me that picture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they went to their alleged death. We will go for the glory of our King. And it was in the fire that they met him face to face. In the fire. And that made me leap forward to Hebrews 12:29. Where God himself says, I am a consuming fire. If you want to know me, come on in. Because it is in the heat of the flame where you think you are going to die. That's when you know me face to face. And friends, that's fire worth enduring. It's fire worth walking through because he is in the fire. And in fact, is the fire. And we can trust him with our very lives for whatever we face. We will go through hard times, but not harder or stronger or deeper than the power of his love to sustain each one of us through whatever we are facing. This is the power of his word for you and for me. You can trust him for every single step.
There are folks in this room that need prayer. I want you to be bold and brave. We're all going to gather around you, and we're not going to single you out. But if you need prayer for whatever the reason, you don't have to share the reason, I want you to raise your hand, and I want those that are around these folks that are raising their hand to just get around them. And the Bible talks about laying on of the hands to touch each other. In our society, in our world, we don't touch each other in a respectful, loving, brotherly, sisterly manner. And that human touch, I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit moves within that touch. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen? And that we would say, I'm with you. Whatever that is, I may not understand, but I'm with you. If that's you, raise your hand. If you need prayer, raise your hand. Okay, guys, hold your hands up. Get around these guys that have their hands up. You guys be praying for each other. Don't let this go by. If there's somebody raising their hands and there's no one on them, get close to them and get by them and get your hands on them. That the body would be the body of Christ, Lord Jesus, that you would heal and touch. Father, that you would give words of wisdom, that you would give words of prophecy, that you would give words of healing right now, right here, right in this place. Holy Spirit, that you would move by your power, your strength, not ours. We're just saying, yes, Lord, we agree and we say yes to whatever you want to do in this place. And Lord Jesus, that we worship you tonight. Holy Spirit, come and do the work of the kingdom. Do the work of the kingdom in the lives of these guys that were brave to say yes. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord. There is someone in this room that is carrying old generational junk. I just had the sense of balls and chain just bouncing around on the ground. And that there's a person that's just so bound up by the junk that was before. The Bible says that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. And that those sins are no longer a part of our life. They're thrown as far as the east is from the west. And so tonight, if that is you, that you would just, that you would abide in the promise that your Jesus' blood is worth it. That the blood of your Savior is so precious that whatever that was, it's done. And you got to let it go. You got to stop picking up that backpack full of junk and looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I'm still that person. No, you're not. You are free because Jesus has given you freedom. He's allowed for freedom in your life. And that you would say, yes, yes, my King. From this moment on, I step out in the freedom. And whatever that was, those memories, those things, that they would be done. There's another person in this room that's dealing with physical stuff. I don't know what it is. There's pain and there's stuff going on in these bodies. Yes, these bodies are dying. But we command by the power of the Holy Spirit that whatever that is, that the kingdom of God would take possession of that. And that by the blood of Jesus, that, Lord, you would begin the healing process. Holy Spirit, through your power, nothing we've said or done or whatever, we just worship you and know that the same God that healed in the scriptures is the same God today. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The word says, I am the same today, yesterday, and forever. And that, Lord Jesus, we trust you and we know that you're doing the work in this room. Healing might not happen right now, but it is beginning in this room. There's nothing special about this room, but there's special about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of the living God. He is God. The scriptures say that in Genesis, the Holy Spirit hovered over creation, that he sang over creation like a bird fluttering, and that he would do that in this place, and that healing would happen in hearts and souls and minds of those in this room, that chains would drop, and that old stuff would become gone and then vacuumed away and just taken away by the power of the Holy Spirit. We precious, precious Jesus, your blood is so worthy. Your blood is so worthy and can do the work if we just trust you. So many times in Scripture you said, do you have faith? Yes, we have faith. Yes, we have. Be healed in the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to Troy Meter, Chief Executive Officer and Co-Founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. We invite you to learn more about the ranch at crystalpeaksyouthranch.org. Check out the videos, listen to more podcasts, learn how to volunteer, or make a tax-deductible donation. crystalpeaksyouthranch.org. I'm Brent Anderson. Join us again as we take you out to Crystal Peaks, the Ranch of Rescued Dreams.